great and cheerful philosophical adventures. It is really hard to define what makes a good nature walk, but I do want to note some things just to enlighten those who may be new. Above all, you will need something philosophically heavy. And not just a question, as those are always way too easy. You need a powerful philosophical quest that will make the world better somehow. And please, don't be shy. Real philosophers love all good thoughts. No real philosopher has ever belittled anyone. Real philosophers do not create borders. They tear them down so that you can come in and join them. People who divide and shame and dictate who is a philosopher and who is not are unwell and yet to grow up to understand their place in the world and the meaning of love of wisdom. Don't be scared of love of wisdom and philosophy. It is yours, and it is for you to inspire the world with. It is for you to make the world a better place with. And just let me pause right here, just for a tiny moment, to underline how important nature walks already are. They truly are as deeply philosophical as I make them out to be. Allow me to give you an example of one of my heavy philosophical quests, the story of how I discovered a lost virtue, the virtue of cheerfulness. I think this is something that people refer to as positive thinking, as being positive, as living on the sunny side, but my discovery was independent of all of that. I was deep in the woods, with rays of sunshine everywhere, and chipmunks were all over the place, all over, and they were running around like crazy. With me, in my thoughts, was dear Viktor Frankl, and Frederick, and Socrates, and a half-remembered memory of someone mumbling, "Life is what you make of it." Socrates was profoundly asking Crito to be of good cheer, and I was asking about meaning, and the chipmunks were asking why I was ruining their morning ways. And it occurred to me that when ancient Greeks spoke of the four virtues, wisdom, courage, moderation, and justice, and then Europe in the Middle Ages spoke of chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility, and the knightly virtues called for courage, justice, mercy, generosity, faith, nobility, and hope. And Bushido beautifully framed sincerity, responsibility, frugality, politeness, modesty, loyalty, harmony, tranquility, and compassion. And Aquinas underlined that not only does it matter what a person does, but how they do it. None of them really mentioned cheerfulness, or as we call it today, positive thinking. And cheerfulness is extremely powerful. Frederick, for example, said,
He who has a why to live for can bear almost anyhow.
But to me, this always seemed very dark. And Victor added that when all is taken away, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way, which is very heavy and very deep. But I think that in modern days, we need more. We need meaning in many things, not just the dark things, not just the painful things. Because finding meaning is not just about finding meaning in suffering, but in finding meaning in all the things that confuse us. Meaning is about all the things that present a challenge. And we need to formulate a good answer for all things, not just misery. We need an answer that also works when nothing too terrible is going on. Like, what the hell is the meaning of an alarm clock? Or, why is the whole world poor when there is always money for war? And of course, that big old question of meaning of life, which is not a miserable question at all. And here I remembered Richard Dawkins talking about some questions being silly by design. Just because something is grammatically correct, it does not make it a serious question. I think he was in general talking about the question of why are we here? As in some greater plan. Being grammatically correct, but not really a serious question, which it isn't. But I turned the tables around, and instead of asking the question, I cheerfully went on my way to answer it. Huh? Cheerfulness is more than courage in this case. It is unlike any of the virtues noted above. Cheerfulness gives us the power of giving inspirational and somewhat silly answers to very great questions. Here we don't need a PhD in anything. We just need to be cheerful and positive and inspirational. So on my little morning walk, huge walking stick in hand, cheerful, surrounded by beauty of nature and silly chipmunks, I answered all my big questions in a single go. Let me start with the big one. Meaning of life. We have a talent for art, for storytelling and writing, knowledge and wisdom, and inspiration and greatness. And these are all very difficult things that require great knowledge and practice and patience. And they indeed hint on the answer to the question of meaning of life. The meaning of life is found in becoming a great being. Exactly like Richard Dawkins, Friedrich Nietzsche, Viktor Frankl and Socrates, and all the other knowledgeable, wise, inspirational great beings. Do you see what I did? I cheerfully answered the biggest question. And that there is a second, closely related question. Why are we here? Which is kind of a question of meaning as well. Here, Murray Gell-Mann cheerfully answers that in his Beauty and Truth in Physics TED Talk. That, of course, deals with science side of things, but also the cheerfulness of Murray Gell-Mann himself. His laughter towards the end of the talk and the love and understanding of his audience perfectly, perfectly captures the other half of the answer. We are here to be human, to share wisdom, to teach, to admire and inspire and chuckle and laugh. That laughter in the end of his TED Talk is a special kind of laughter. My original discovery of this beautiful kind of laughter came from just about the time when I was packing for one of my great walks. Again, sunny days, filled with cute little adventures, always packing to go somewhere, and wearing multiple fanny packs at the same time, and being proud of it. I was listening to Richard Dawkins giving one of his talks, and the way the audience loved him and adorned him with that laughter of understanding made me speechless, made me appreciate and admire the students in the audience. Their laughter was a sign of heights of intelligence that I have never witnessed before. I sat down to pay more attention to the video and wait for the audience to display the appreciation of what Richard stands for with that purity of laughter some more. I can wholeheartedly say we are here in great part to share in that kind of laughter of wisdom and understanding and love of science and admiration for the clear thinking of great beings like Richard Dawkins and his honest and beautiful answers. Science and laughter. That is my cheerful answer to why are we here? It's that simple. Now, let me answer that somewhat dark question of why there is money for war, but the world is still poor. Because politics are primitive. They don't yet do the humans justice. Politics have ways to go before they develop to become good enough for us. Laws that structure a nation are like a computer program. If that program is badly written, and if it is lacking good programmers to fix that program very quickly, then there will be so many problems that the whole system will be slow and full of bugs and corrupt things and will require constant manual review and repair, and it will never be enough. A well-designed political system eliminates poverty immediately. It replaces prisons with schools and mental institutions, makes sure that everyone gets a real education that they eventually become very proud of as it becomes one of their greatest treasures. This requires great thinkers, generations of great thinkers, redesigning politics all around the world. The world is poor because politics are still too primitive. Which brings us to the final question, and this one is a doozy. The question of the alarm clock. The alarm clock is a kind of a test and a reminder. It exists for the purpose of one day being smashed to smithereens by you. It is a constant reminder that you are supposed to smash it. Or, you know, just turn it off if it's on your phone or a family heirloom. And instead of preparing for work that day, prepare for the start of great many adventures. Go shopping for really, really, really expensive and colorful adventure shoes that have plenty of room for thick socks, nice and soft and warm, thick socks. and get a backpack. Probably the bigger the better. But it also has to be really sturdy. And you will need a tent. Even if you are not planning the walk to last more than a day, it is still fun to have a tent. Sometimes it is great to just set it up in your backyard, or set it up in the middle of a woodland walk to lay down a little and have a sandwich or a nap. You can have a nap in the middle of a walk, or just look out from it if there is a nice view. The first time you go on a walk, bring a notepad, not just for philosophical thoughts, but to make a list of all the stuff you wish you had with you. For example, while I never used it, I always carried a cowboy hat and a bug net that you put over your hat just in case a fly starts bothering you, presumably. You know, stuff like that. In short, the meaning of an alarm clock is to alarm you when you are ready to smash it to smithereens and become a professional adventurer that goes on great many great and cheerful philosophical adventures.